Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
This is Corolla Digital.
Hi, I'm Larry Miller, but in a way, aren't we all? And this week, on This Week with Larry Miller, I give you the color commentary and the play-by-play on my family Thanksgiving. I'll bet it was just like yours. Remember, tune into our website, LarryMillerPodcast.com, and we'll see you here.
Today's CarCast is sponsored by Encore Insurance Services, LLC. For free life insurance quote today, give them a call, 866-347-5748, or you can visit their website at smartterm.com. Again, give Encore a call, see if they can help you save. Let them do the work for you. 866-347-5748. Licensing and disclaimer information can be found at smartterm.com.
Now, it's time for this week's CarCast with your host, Adam Carolla, and Motorator Matt DeAndrea.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get it on. Mandate. Get it on. Welcome to another CarCast. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Matt the Motorator DeAndrea over there. We're excited to welcome back Bob Bondurant, his beautiful wife, Pat Bondurant. Good to see you guys.
Hey, good to see you.
I was telling you guys off the air, but I'll just start on the air by saying that this Paul Newman Racing documentary I've been working on, I'm just over the moon about it.
Wonderful.
I'm really excited about it. Your contributions have been better than good, important, because Bob is all over at least the beginning part of this thing, because he...
Film's great.
He was there when Paul got started, along with Robert Wagner, who we interviewed as well.
Right.
But even throughout, there's some great footage of you sitting with Paul, sort of interviewing him and talking to him. This is now years after he's become a driver.
Right.
And he's saying, well, you got me started. It all started
with
the...
It's your fault, or it's...
The Formula V.
The credit or the blame.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. He was great to work with.
And the Bondurant School is where they went to, I believe it's about 67, 68, to start the career, or to start the driving career.
68.
Yeah. The movie Winning. Bob told me, I believe, once when we were over at the Toyota Grand Prix some years ago, that... Bob had the Daytona, had the Shelby Daytona, the one that won the Manufacturers Championship for the U.S. the first time ever, and had that car, sold it for $10,000, which is insane because it's a $5 million car, but he used the money wisely.
Yeah, well, I bought a Shelby. I'm selling out to Ford. Ford said, get rid of all those Daytona coupes, all the Cobras. And you're the one in the Daytona Coupe. And that's the only time that's ever going to happen. Because usually last year, race cars are not worth anything.
I know.
And he said, I want you to buy it. I said, well, how much? He said, $4,000. But in those days, $4,000 was like $10,000 now.
Oh, so I made maybe more.
So, probably more. So I scrounged it, I got $4,000, bought it. I drove it on the street for a while, and
drove it on the street.
The race car you drove it on the street.
Oh yeah,
that's awesome.
To work every day.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh yeah. But everyone pulling up beside you all the time, looking at it. I better go a little faster. So finally,
well, it ran at Le Mans, right?
Yeah.
And it had functioning headlights and a spare tire and whatever the rules Le Mans dictated back
FIA
then.
FIA said you had to have everything just like on the street.
Right. So you could drive it on the street.
Right.
Except for the sound part.
So I decided I better sell it. I was putting my school together, and I needed some more money for my school to start it right. So I sold it for $10,000, and I thought, wow, that's a good profit.
Yeah, it did well.
And in the course of a couple of years.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, anybody, for, you know, you go, okay, now the car's $5 million bucks, but
$5 million, it's 8.25.
8.25. Oh, is that what it sold for? What it sell for?
It sold for 7.25.
Oh, 7.25.
And then it sold the next day, well, apparently that night on the phone, for another cool million.
Oh, I
screwed
that up.
And was flown to Argentina. Get it right, Adam.
I screwed that one up. Yeah, I don't know what I'm thinking of. But, yeah, it was. Oh, it's at least $10 million bucks today. But who amongst us, if I told you you could buy yourself a car that was $100,000, and 3 years from now, you could sell that car for $325,000, wouldn't do it and think they were a genius?
Oh, yeah.
And that's basically what you did. Now, the good news is you took that money. You didn't go to Laughlin, Nevada and buy a couple of hookers and a slot machine.
No.
You went and started the Bondurant Racing School.
Yes, and exactly. I started it February 14th.
And
Flowers Day.
Did you start off with the Datsun Roadsters?
Yeah, I had a Datsun 1600 Roadster and a 2-liter Roadster and a 4-door 510 sedan as an instructor car.
Mm-hmm.
And I put all this together after I had my accident.
Mm-hmm.
It was in the hospital. But now what am I going to do for a living? So I thought, well, you know, I instructed James Garner and the other actors for the movie Grand Prix. That felt good to my heart. So I thought, and the doc said I would never walk again.
Mm-hmm.
In my accident, I broke my legs, broke my feet, and the doctor said, I put you back together, but you'll never walk again.
What vehicle were you driving when you had the accident?
I was driving a McLaren Can-Am car at Watkins Glen.
Mm-hmm.
And coming through a 150 mile an hour corner, and the right stern arm broke, and I went off at 150, hit the embankment pretty well head on. But it's amazing what you can do. I reached over, shut the fuel pumps off, didn't want to catch fire, shut the engine off, and then something I learned in the Grand Prix. Some instructors, F1 drivers are all talking one day and said, how can we save ourselves physically in an accident?
Mm-hmm.
And they said, say you're coming into 150 mile an hour corner and you have to brake for it, and the brake pedal goes to the floor, and you're going to hit hard. So they said, just if you push your hands at 3 and 9, tighten your fists as tight as you can, and just take a deep breath. It relaxes your neck muscles, shoulders, upper arms, forearms, wrist, and hands.
I use aromatherapy when I'm in the car, but that's a Playboy air freshener. How do you relax yourself when you're heading for the embankment at 150 miles an hour?
How do you have time to think about it?
We have to think positive thoughts.
And I guess.
Well, that was a matter of tenths of a second.
I have seen the guys. I do know the guys who, you know, they take their hands off the wheel so they don't, you know, break their arms kind of thing.
Guy.
Oh, that's me driving, though, but I don't mean it.
Maston Gregory jumped out of the car.
Oh, really?
He was a jumper.
Yeah.
But shutting the fuel pumps off and shutting the engine down is a smart thing to do before impact.
I wouldn't even have thought of that either. I would have just screamed and crapped myself.
Well,
like, that would
most
have been
of
it,
the drivers
crashed.
Died from fires back then. So that
right.
was probably
oh, yeah, that was
the number
thing.
One thing on their mind.
Then what happened when I hit so hard, and it took off just straight up, took the bottom out of the car, so my legs went out the bottom.
Oh.
And went as high as telephone pole and flipped 8 times end over end and sideways.
Oh, and that for those of you, I mean, most people listening know the Can-Am cars, but a huge engine right behind the driver, but not a whole lot out in front of the driver.
No,
and
no.
And back then, they didn't offer, I mean, they probably, you know, it had a roll bar, but in terms of leg protection, it probably wasn't a whole lot except for fiberglass and some tube frame.
I know a lot of those cars, they use like thin wall tubing and stuff to try to make them lighter. They put enough tubing to make them legal to race, but
they're
it's
not
kind
thinking
of thin wall.
Broken legs and feet.
Right. In in the I think in
didn't
that
work, the cage.
In the crazed Porsche one, that thing may have been made out of magnesium or something. I know they had a thing where they
which just turns into hot lava, by the
way. They inject air into it to see if it leaked, literally.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah, did you know that story?
No.
I don't know. Bob probably knows it, but these make things out of a bunch of tubes, you know, and yet they'd get a lot of stress cracks and things like that because there were, I think the Porsche ones weren't even steel. They were working with magnesium or aluminum or something, but they had a little air valve and you'd fill the frame with air and see if it leaked out.
Wow.
You know what I mean? Makes sense. Right? You can see where all the stress cracks are and stuff.
Absolutely.
You can take a little soapy water and put it on some of the welds and see whether that thing's cracked. After five races, the thing's going to need it.
I can see doing that as you're like putting the car together to make sure it's right, but I didn't think they actually like put an air valve on there and just did it after every few laps
Those Germans. Yeah.
A funny thing is, at the end of my accident, I landed upside down, and the corner worker ran took the car right side up, laid on my broken feet. It rained the night before. And so the ground was softer. And I looked down. I landed right in the darn mud puddle.
That's what you were worried about?
And then I looked up and saw the spectators. God, I hope I saved all the spectators, which I did. They had all run over.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a funny thing to think about, you know, and to think about things so quick.
Yeah.
150 miles an hour, you don't slow down. I was braking and downshifting and all that. But you're going off from the asphalt to the dirt, so probably picked up speed rather than slow down.
Yeah, you see some of those tracks where they have grass on the side. You see like at Goodwood, they actually seem to speed up.
When you guys
get off the track in Goodwood, they scoot.
Like a bullet, they just go. And nothing. You're turning the wheel, it doesn't do anything.
I know it looks good from overhead and everything, but that gravel,
right?
As I can tell you from my experience running over at Laguna Seca last year or this year, I got off the track there, and I was like, oh, I'm going into those tires pretty hard. That gravel, you stop fast in that gravel. I mean, that is
a
room.
You dig in.
I mean, you just dig in and you just stop.
And you can't get out either.
You can't get out.
Where did you go off?
Oh, let's see.
The corkscrews, right?
After the corkscrew. I've never had a problem with the corkscrew. Never had an issue with the corkscrew.
That's a fun couple of turns.
Matt's had issues with the corkscrew.
I've had one issue, really.
Matt got black flagged. Just taking a parade route in a streetcar. That's a lot.
How did you do that?
Okay, you're going to the school, okay?
You have to do the Zanardi move, like through. You just cut the...
Look straight
Oh, here's,
faster.
Here's,
oh, that's
here's
probably
footage
me.
Of him in a just a bone-stock Lexus. Yeah.
Oh, Matt.
Yeah.
We're laughing, though. We're just laughing at that point.
He got back to the pit, and the guy, like, black flagged him, but he wasn't even driving. I mean, it was just time for people to go out and enjoy the track a little, with their kids.
Oh, yeah.
He was black flagged. He's like, I hung a tire. What are we talking about here?
That turn wasn't there on the first lap.
And the camera doesn't lie.
The camera does not lie.
I think Jeff edited that video.
I was cut off by 914.6 that I was attempting to lap in my Paul Newman car. And on turn, I should know the number of it. Probably, I'd probably be a little faster if I could remember the names of them. Coming through the corkscrew.
I think we have it labeled here.
You can check the video. It's going up, trying to catch the RSR. Or there's a 934 and a half. And, this is turn. I don't know. What turn is that?
I see the blue dot.
Three.
This is, Well, let's see. Give us a little sound, if you would.
Bob knows every single turn of every single track he's ever been. Listen to him over here going, that's turn three,
We'll go into the straightaway. Oh, no. Now we jumped ahead. Now we're going around, coming into turn five, I think, here. See, I got this.
Damn, that's
RSR, and I don't know what he's doing. I mean, it is 934 and a half, but I can get him. We're on, like, lap eight, and I'm like, I got this guy. I think I can get this guy. And he's not really blocking me, but he's not really moving over, and I'm not sure. And then we get to the top where the corkscrew is, and I think I can go to the right and get him at the top, but that's going to be a little dicey.
Yeah.
And then we're passing this 914.6, and we're lapping him. And he slides in to the left underneath him, and I go, oh, I'm sliding in underneath him too. And the guy in the 914.6 right doesn't see me, and they're
very busy there.
There we went. Yeah. Yeah. A lot of dirt. A lot of dirt in the car. All right.
You're calm and cool and collected.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good sign.
Your hands were moving rather quickly at the moment back there.
I don't. Well, what happened was is the guy in the 914.6 went like way wide, which is what you do. Yeah. You go out and then you apex the turn. But if you see it, when the guy went wide, I thought he was making room. I thought he was making room for me and the other guy to lap him, but he wasn't. He was just going out and then coming back into apex. And when he started to come back into apex, he did not see me at all. So,
what a surprise.
He was on the racing line, and he's just out of camera shot, but he went on out, and then he came right on in, and he was apexing that. And that was just a quick lots of break and lots of turn. Otherwise, I would have completely just T-boned the guy. All right.
How bad did you damage your car?
No, just
not that bad. The front air dam.
Just took the front air dam off. That was all. But I thought, those tires are 20 feet away. I'm going to plow into those tires because I was going 65, 70 miles an hour. Like, I'm going to get to the tires, and the dirt just went boom.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah,
it all came in my car and acted as an anchor to stop me.
I've done the same thing, and those tires, they get all up underneath the bead of the wheel, and it just messes up your tire, messes up your rim, and... although that's better than hitting the tires, hitting the wall. Those rocks really just...
But remember, Rob Walton hit everywhere. That wall in that number 9 Daytona Coupe. Do you remember that one, Adam?
Mm-mm.
At Laguna. And he did. He took out, I think it was his left side, Bob?
He was driving the Daytona?
Yeah, the number 9.
Cobra, Daytona Cobra.
He started to turn
the original.
And he just went straight.
What year are we talking about?
It was Gurney's old car. It was an original... Daytona Coupe, 65.
2 years ago, last year.
Oh, really? Oh, jeez. Yeah. You know, now we're looking at pictures of it.
No, that's a tire wall.
Yeah, yes.
It is.
Yeah.
That's an expensive
original
day.
Car.
Yeah. Well, don't worry.
Not anymore.
They'll fix it.
Said the brakes failed.
They always
the brakes failed?
That's what he said. Failed.
The brain fell. There you go. That's what happened.
Stop it.
I had a very interesting Laguna. It's like a ride. I was driving the King Cobras, and Roger Penske was running first. Dan Gurney was running second.
And now we're talking about a big block Cobra?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's a Cooper chassis with a big block.
The Can-Am variety, like not the Cobra
kind of.
Cobra,
yeah,
but the weird Cobra.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
They only made three of them.
Yeah, I'm sorry, because first when you said King Cobra, I started thinking about the Cobra drag car, but that was a snake.
Snake
Cobra. And then they made a blue and white, sort of almost Can-Am-y looking Cobra.
And we did an interesting thing. The mechanic would take a door handle and screw it to the floor.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was running third, and a guy in front of me blew an engine, and I hit the oil and spun, and I just held on to the wheel, leaned down, pulled on the handle, pulled myself down in case I went upside down, and then it got silent. And then this huge cloud of dust came down I was about 3 feet from the crash wall. So I just put it in gear, kept on driving, and ended up third.
Those are really cool cars that I haven't seen too much of, but I do.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of the iterations.
I said there was only three of those.
Of the Cobra, but I didn't know the car.
Yeah.
They did the 260, the small block, and then they did the 289, and then they did the big block, and then they did the Daytona or Cobra Daytona, and then the King Cobra, and then there was that weird dragster Cobra. Is there anything else not dragster, but quarter mile car? Is there anything I'm missing?
There is a little trivia, and a lot of people don't realize that the Cobras, before they turn into the Daytona Coupe, they put the hard top on them for aerodynamics.
Seen them at Goodwood?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, Bob actually raced one in Austria, and we found a fan had sent some from Austria when he raced there, and there it is.
Wow.
And that was kind of cool.
It's crazy. I've raced so many different cars. I said, where was that car?
Right.
And John Promanico is with us today.
Yeah, he said,
oh, that's in Austria. That's right. I did race in Austria.
They had a hard top. I think there was even one with, like, the gurney bubble there, or maybe more than one with the gurney bubble.
Well, that was a GT40, right? That had the
bubble? No, that had the bubble, but they also, and we're going to find a picture. Pat, I may stump you on this one.
I got to see.
But I have seen, I think, the Cobra, I think big
with
block and small block, with the hard top. Well, the sort of removable shell top.
Yeah,
and
right.
I think I've seen them with the blister, like that gurney blister on them.
Yeah. I know the hard top you're thinking of. I'm trying to think if there was something.
That's going
to
be a tough one because, listen.
We left Gurney's shop yesterday.
Oh, really?
I don't remember a bubble on anything
Listen, Jeff, you got to Photoshop something to it. I got to be right.
I think I remember us seeing that at Pebble Beach last year. I'm going to look for a picture of it.
Yeah, I want authentication papers, please.
Well, I'm guessing you guys have been out to Goodwood.
Last year.
I raced over there three times.
And it's just so amazing seeing there's so many of those Cobras on the track because at Goodwood, the cutoff is 66, I think, in terms of the vintage cars. So, you know, out here, you see guys racing, you know, fairly modern GTP cars and stuff, you know, from the 90s and stuff. There, it's boom, 66.
Mm-hmm.
After that, nothing exists.
Yeah.
So it pretty much goes up to the GT40s.
Yeah,
technology-wise, it goes up to the GT40, and it just stops right there, and it makes it fun.
Yeah,
and it's also fun to see 80-year-old guys dragging their knee on a motorcycle, which is crazy too.
And they go all out.
a light mist too. And these guys are dragging their knees out there. It's insane. But the Jags and the Cobras out there just dicing it up. Because
it's fun. That's a lot of fun.
Year before last, they had all the silver arrows out there.
Wow.
It gave you the chills, even if you didn't know what the car was.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, somebody like me who's still learning. And I'm like, what is that? And it was just a whole fleet of them. It was the largest collection of them at one place at one time ever in history.
Yeah, you'll never, Matt, you got to put it on your bucket list because... And I don't want to be a snob, but you guys, you don't have to go to the hill climb. You just don't have to. You can see Hemi under glass doing a wheelie at Riverside or at Pomona.
Yeah.
Pomona. You don't need that.
I did the hill climb twice.
I love the hill climb. It's my favorite event.
You're such a sucker.
No, if you're going to go to one, if you're a true motoring enthusiast, go to the historic.
Absolutely.
I know. I want to go. We got to find it in our budget.
Bob, what did you drive?
A Cobra Daytona Coupe.
Oh, mm-hmm. Stupid
the
question.
Original one.
And speaking of grass.
Yeah.
Now, this is a great combination. The hill climb has all the bleachers, a thin ribbon of asphalt that goes winds between the bleachers, and then a left-hand turn, and it goes up the hill. Now,
are the bleachers on the turn?
No, the retaining walls are cobblestone.
Because that would be unsafe.
There's no
just
tires.
Saying.
No, what happens is guys go, I'm going to delight the crowd with a little donut or burnout, or I'm going to hang a little. Problem is they catch a little grass. And before you know it, the guy who's driving the old vintage Winston Cup car or Hemi under glass or whatever the crazy F1 car from the 80s yeah. gets up there, grabs just a little grass right into the...
just a mess.
Seen a guy completely... I don't know why he was even driving. But, and then there's the guys who go for time. So they're the guys who are going to do a burnout. They're guys that are out there, like Bob, historically reunited with the Daytona, is going to go up the hill, but he's not trying to set the record. There's guys out there that are going for time.
Oh, yeah. I bet Bob Onderhut was going for
time. You're going for time, but you don't have the technology
right.
to beat some guy in an F1 car when you're going for time.
Any car 10 years newer, 20 years newer.
And this can be 30 even, but there are guys going for time, and there was a guy in an Aston Martin V8 Vantage. It was factory sponsored completely. Just destroyed it. Just in front of the crowd. That's the bad part. Now, the bad part is it's all the grandstands. They're all filled. And as soon as you catch us a little, and it's a little misty outside.
Cameras everywhere.
Catch a little bit of that grass. Boom.
Yeah. Cameras everywhere.
I was smart though. I went there with a rental car. Mm-hmm. Drove up and down the hill for about a half a day, and I really learned it. And learned every bit of it.
Right. What else would Bob Bondurant do?
That's right. Which means he showed up early and had time.
But that's just sort of an experience. Like, that's just kind of a free-for-all. Like, you just walk around and see crazy cars and crazy
things. It's a great event.
And you got to dress crazy.
Racing, too. Okay. Just like
you got to dress crazy for the historics.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You got to dress really in your cap in and your jacket, and the Lancasters and the Spitfires are flying overhead, and you're eating, tea and crumpets. And
that's right. Is the food good?
Oh,
it's fantastic.
The beer's great. And I'll tell you the best part. Best part is you're having a beer, and you're drinking it out of a glass. It's not a styrofoam cup.
Not a red cup?
No, it's a styrofoam glass. And at a certain point, you go, let's go check out some of those pontoon Ferraris over there. Yeah. And you get up with your glass, and you just go walk over to where all the cars are and the mechanics and the white jumpsuits. And no one's like, hey, sure, excuse me, where are you going with it? No, sure, finish that or throw it in the trash.
Right.
No, you just walk around holding your pint of beer, talking to a dude. There's no ropes up anywhere or anything.
Right.
No. You're just walking behind the guy with the Daytona or the Ferrari GTO, and you're going, hey, when are you running? Yeah. And the guy's just wrenching on it, talking to you.
Hold my beer while I take a few laps in the Daytona.
You're setting your beer down on top of his toolbox. Like, he's not like, sure, we're going to have to ask you to go ahead and step behind this. You just walk around, right?
Yeah, there's something wrong with our picture.
That's what's so neat about racing in Europe is a lot better than racing here. For things like that. And then when I raced over there for Shelby, when you'd win, I mean, you get high respect for it, doing it well. And here's a young, crazy American.
Right.
The Cobra at the Hill Times, we ran the 289 Roadsters.
Oh, right. You ran the smaller, lighter cars for the hill climbs, which they don't even really have here, right?
Yeah.
I mean, but they'd run all the cool. I mean, Porsche and Ferrari and everyone showed up for those hill climbs.
Oh, yeah.
Back then, and that was a crazy drive. I would have been in Goodwood, probably like 05, 06. I did the historics, and then I did the festival speed, and then maybe I went back to the historics or something like that. But it is just...
I think it's about time we go back.
It's a bucket list item.
All
right, Jeff, did we find the thing with the blister on it, or am I going insane?
I'm going to find that, because it does not exist.
I see. No.
It's fake.
That's a
bubble?
That's a tire?
What is that?
That's a blister.
But how authentic is that? That's got to be an aftermarket.
If it's on the internet, it's real.
Okay. Adam wins.
Yeah, it says I have Crohn's disease on the internet, too. Was that from Goodwood? Yeah. And by the way, these guys, right? I've said it a million times. It's absolutely unbelievable.
Yeah.
All right. Bob and Pat have brought us a vehicle. What are we? We must be celebrating the whatever year. What are we? Where we started the Bondurant Driving School
I started 1960, February 68.
68.
And then Paul and Vonneman and
Wagner.
They were the third and fourth students.
That's 45 years ago.
Wow.
We're celebrating 45th anniversary of the Bob Bondurant School of High Performance Driving.
Let's throw out a website. By the way, for my money, you know, there's a lot of the wives that do the, hey, I want to get the guy a gift. You know, he's got the flat panel TV. He doesn't need another golf club. I want to get him something fun. And a lot of the guys I've talked to, they've done the, my wife got me the NASCAR thing. It's like, you go in a circle with an instructor.
You do a few laps.
They limit your speed and stuff like that. But you don't really learn how to drive a car. You learn how to go in a circle in the highly modified NASCAR.
Exactly.
You want to do something for the husband and get him a gift that he can enjoy. But not only enjoy.
You'd send him away for the weekend.
That's a good angle. Not only that, but the next time he's cruising around in the family truckster with the kids in the back and some guy cuts him off, he's going to be able to do an evasive maneuver and know how to handle that vehicle and not end up in a tire barrier.
That's right.
Exactly. On the 405.
That's right.
So more so than just getting the hubby out of the house and letting him get his rocks off for a week or a weekend, put the guy behind the wheel, really know what it feels like when a car gets loose and gets out of control and that rear end starts coming around.
And that is, if you boil down what you learn at Bondurant, I don't care if you're a teenager, a mommy driving a minivan, a husband who's a car enthusiast, a Navy SEAL, I don't care who you are, when you boil it down to a teaspoon, what you learn at Bondurant is car control.
Right.
Yeah. Exactly. The end of the day, that's what you walk away with.
And I love the skid pad cars you guys have. When I was there years ago, it was the Cadillac CTS-V.
And
Danny Bullock was my instructor, by the way.
Everybody remembers their instructors. It's so much like Mike's.
You just keep going around, and then he hits the button, the car lifts, or it goes up on the training wheels, and you have no control. And you keep trying. And you're basically simulating getting the car, you know, oversteer and understeer at very low speed. You're literally going 15 miles an hour,
and he can make
it seem like the car's getting loose at 100 miles an hour.
Right.
It's just done in slow motion. That's the best. Every kid should learn to do that before they get a driver's license.
Oh, definitely.
I couldn't agree with you more.
Similar.
I talked to Bob Sharp about it all the time. Bob Sharp's always like, "Hey, we got to get a school going for these kids." You know? He's excited. You know, he wants to do it. And I say, look, in a world full of, hey, you got to get certified for 500 hours before you cut someone's hair. and a license and everything else, why not? I say it all the time. You know, I have twins, they're 7, so they're not going to be driving for a couple years, but before they get on that road, they're going through the Bondurant school. I want them, my main concern is the feeling of a car when you don't have control over it momentarily.
Oh, yeah.
Is a terrifying feeling, and it's a feeling that hits people and they don't know what to do with it.
Exactly.
When you get used to driving, and when you've been through one of these performance driving schools, you spend the whole weekend feeling like the car's, I don't have control of it, now I've regained control of it. And
when you're
on the freeway and you've lost control, you'll do the exact, you're not shutting off the fuel pumps.
No.
Believe you me, you're doing the exact wrong thing.
The best course to go through is the 4-day Grand Prix racing course.
Mm-hmm.
And Pat said, "You gotta go, sweetheart. You gotta go through a 4-day." Oh no, I see what they're doing out there all the time.
I'm gonna kick off my high heels.
And I said, "What was your last name?"
Yeah, went through the 4-day. Oh my God, it actually. And I'm a confident person, but it shifted my confidence into another atmosphere. What I learned and gained from going through the 4-day. And speaking of the skid car, on the 4th day, we're in the open wheel formula cars. Scariest, coolest, most exciting. Yeah. Your heart's pounding in your ears. I mean, all the excitement's there.
Flipping on
switches for your fuel and all this stuff. And I'm thinking, my girlfriends are not going to believe I'm sitting in this car doing this. But I did do an understeer, oversteer on turn 9. And I could hear my instructor in my ear going, "Pat, don't worry about the chaos. Put the car where you want it to be." Mm-hmm. And that kept me from spinning out.
Yeah,
exactly.
That I think you have to spin out during the in the school because you learn almost as much from doing that know what it feels like and
you don't want to
how
do
scared
it.
You want to be. Like, no, even controlled or, you know, somewhere, either way, it's in a controlled environment when you're at the school.
You know, it's one of these things where we worry honestly, and then we're going to go out and take a look at what Bob and Pat brought us. We worry all the time about, you know, do you have guns in the house, gun safety, kids, a pool, cool, the kids could drown in the pool and stuff like that. For folks, and a lot of folks that are listening to this program, there's a certain income level and a certain age. Your number one opportunity to buy the farm is going to be out on the road.
Oh, yeah.
It's not going to be a gangbanger driving by and shooting up your house. You know what I mean? No. That's Boys in the Hood stuff.
Right.
This is the way, realistically, statistically, if you're going to buy it, it's going to be behind the wheel of your SUV out on the highway.
Yeah.
You should be trained, and for the sake of your kids, you should be trained to handle said vehicle because it's 5,000 pounds, and there's a lot of responsibility there.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, people look at this as sort of a luxury. It's not. It's really it's about safety, and it's about responsibility. Let's toss out the website, by the way, just so people know where to go if they want to go to
So we have a lot of teenagers that come through, and they ask, you know, Mr. Bondurant, cars are better now, so they're safer. And Bob goes, look, technology got better, but you drivers that never ever reached another level other than going through a driving school.
Right.
You're
right.
Still where we were in the 1920s.
That's what I say.
The the website is Bondurant.com.
Just go to Bondurant.com. There's a million different packages. One of them will fit you nicely.
It's not just racing too, right? There's defensive driving and all kinds of stuff. There's some cool
And to your point about the women, 80% of our purchasers are women.
For their husbands?
Yep. Their husbands, their boyfriends, their brothers, their sons. It's unbelievable when I went back and found out.
And especially, look, ladies, if the husband is having a little midlife crisis and he's going to go out and buy himself a new Corvette, let him be able to handle that new Corvette.
That's right, because they got
Absolutely.
Yes. All right. You want to support the show, you click through the Amazon and PayPal over at carcastshow.com. You can follow us at Carcast Show and Facebook and all that kind of stuff, too. Should we go out and take a look at what Bob brought us?
Yeah.
Yes, Bob.
One thing. Remember, Christmas is coming up.
Mm-hmm. Ah, yeah.
And a great Christmas gift, you wives, is for your husband to give us a call. Tell you what types of courses are available in your kids. A lot of times, and this is really fantastic, the dad and the son come out, go through the school. That's the only time in their lives that they get to spend real time together.
That's very bonding.
And it's really cool. Mm-hmm.
That's right. On the lap of a Formula V.
That's right.
I remember when me and my dad went out to the Bondurant school back in the day. Old Jim Carolla piloting the 2000 Roadster. Me happy.
Or not.
Oh, no, wait a minute.
That didn't happen.
Or not. And I want to tell you one quick thing before we got to the car. We are the chairman for the Child Help Gala. Mm-hmm. And Child Help is the oldest national child abuse advocacy in the country and in Canada. And we've been asked by Craig Jackson and Barrett Jackson to chair the gala this year, and we are. And the theme is the 50th anniversary of the 1964 winning Lamar team. Mm. So you got to go to childhelp.org to find the information for the tickets for the panel discussion on January 11th. And you will get to see Bob Bondurant, Pete Rock, the designer of the car, even the original engine builder. Jack Hoare will be there. Gene Stuckey, the engineer, and Mike Schoen, who wrote the Cobra Ferrari World book. And they're all doing this in the name of charity. So all the proceeds are going to go to Child Help. So when we talk about the next thing, which is our new fleet of cars that we've got at Bondurant, one of the things that we've done at Bondurant is we are going to be auctioning off, and I believe you can go to childhelp.org and find out, but it's a white Stingray because I believe the orders are about 20 weeks behind right now.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
so
yeah.
We're doing one of these for the organization. And we're hoping to possibly do an eBay bid for the 14 days prior to the gala. And then the night of the gala on January 11th will be the final.
Announce the winner, yeah.
Yeah, so it'll be...
Tell Jackson to put his Bugatti up on...
Yeah, right. Yeah, okay, I'll be sure to do that.
I'll put that up. No reserve.
I'll be sure and do that. Yeah, okay, Adam said. But anyway, thank you for that because it's extremely important to us.
Our pleasure. Well, before we head to the parking lot, let me tell you about one of our fine sponsors, Encore, baby. Today's show, sponsored by Encore Insurance Services, LLC. For a free life insurance quote, give them a call, 866-347-5748, or you can visit their website at smartterm.com. Thinking about getting life insurance? Hey, man, you need life insurance, or maybe you already have coverage and you need a little bit more. Encore. Great sponsors, great people. 866-347-5748. Give them a call. See what they can do for you. Or smartterm.com. We have one of our guys who works here. He's 36, non-smoker. Got a 20-year, $500,000 policy, less than 30 bucks a month. You owe it to yourself. You owe it to your family. Encore Insurance. Give them a call. 866-347-5748. 5748. Licensing and disclaimer information can be found at their website at smartterm.com. All right, now let's go see what Bob brung us. All right, so we're here with the new Stingray. Bondurant Driving School has gotten the first. First of 32 in your signature yellow, of course.
Oh, yeah.
So when a car goes to a driving school like yours and you're out, you're out in the desert and people are beating on them pretty good, what modifications do you have to do to a car like this that just left the factory?
Okay, this car is a Z51. It's got the handling package, the Brembo brakes, the rear wheels are 20-inch, so it is, the fronts are 19-inch. Mm-hmm. And all we do, like the Corvettes we have now, Grand Sports, we don't do much because they work so well. This car works even better than the Grand Sport.
And this has a dry sump system.
Yeah, it's a dry sump system.
So you can take all your corners and get all your apexes.
And with that, the engine can sit down a little lower because you don't have the pan.
The pan, right.
So you got more weight on the front.
And that
helps the handling.
Now, we've not seen a Stingray yet, right? Yeah, I'm looking at the Stingray emblem here.
Well, they're all Stingray now. The 2014s
are all Stingray.
Yeah. So the ones that we did see, up at the Quail Lodge at Monterey, we saw, and they debuted a convertible there, which is cool about it. And there's 7-speed manual transmissions.
Yeah.
You're rowing all day in that thing. But that seems pretty cool.
7-speed, and with that on the steering wheel, on the back side, you can push a button there, and it heel and toe downshifts it.
So it'll do rev matching for you.
Yeah, rev matching.
That's
right.
What I
but
need.
Don't teach any of the kids there
don't
at the school.
Them
don't
that.
Teach anybody
no.
that. Let them no. let them learn
so
how to do it on their own.
We still want to do heel and toe downshifting. Yeah. For someone that just can't get up, we'll just push the button.
It'll blip the throttle for you, in other words.
I'm going to use the buttons. I'm going to tell your instructor. I'm doing it myself. He's going to think I'm perfect every time.
Alcantara leather on the steering wheel, on the shifter, which is...
This is... the interior is beautiful.
It is gorgeous. And, they've got it...
Sit in that car.
The seats are... I always bang my feet together, Don, out of respect.
Such a big difference compared to the previous generations.
Yeah,
they did
just,
such a nice job on the interior.
This
mean.
Is the best interior I've ever seen in a Corvette.
Oh,
bar none.
Absolutely. And the thing that's really nice about this is I've always said, look, they're great on paper, but the interior wasn't cutting it in the past. This is very European. It's very minimalist. And like I said, the Alcantara leather on the steering wheel, on the shift knob. The seats, the vented inserts,
and you look at the seat and feel.
The bolsters are great, but again, especially GM, back in the day, if they were making a seat, they made a huge seat.
Yeah,
oh,
this,
yeah.
is very European. It's almost kind of reminds me of the early 70s Daytona Ferraris, you know, just just thinner, leaner, meaner seats.
Should we try to figure out how to open the hood?
Oh, yeah, that's going to be... Is it under here? I've never... I'm like 0 for 28 in my hood popping. I think Bob will find it.
That's the hatch.
Oh, pop the hatch. Now we got to pop the hood. What was the car where it was just under the...
John?
On your jack recently, there was... it's kind of like tucked into the panel.
All right.
There you go. Yeah.
Well, while we have the back open, you have a lot of room back there, too.
Well, we'll take a look at We'll take a look at this.
So the new engine is, I think, 450 horsepower.
Well, 450 horsepower, 460 pounds of torque.
Nice.
So it accelerates like crazy.
And you can...
It has direct to fuel injection.
But the thing that's really cool about this is, I'm guessing... Taking a car to a driving school means you're going to drive that car at the limit in the desert heat
all the time
for a long time, and you're just going to break that car down. But the new cars and this car, you're not going to add any coolers or circulating pumps or anything.
Like the hood scoop that does let the hot air out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So because it gets very hot sometimes. At the school.
Right.
But it helps to cool. Every scoot back stay. This is real.
The other vans. Right. Functional.
Helps the school with cooler brakes and all that. Everything works.
I got the quad exhaust.
Oh, yeah. Look how huge that trunk is.
Yeah. So this is the new leader in the clubhouse for bang for your buck. I mean, most car get.
Yeah.
I mean, the fact that for, I don't know what we're talking about, 53,000 base
price or something.
Yeah, they're
like mid-50s, low to mid-50s. And this is still, keep in mind that the Stingray is brand new, so expect to see probably a Z06 version of this, which would be even crazier, and maybe even a ZR1 version of this at some point. But as it is right now, this car is an incredible
way
performer.
To start.
Yeah.
And this thing handles fantastic. It's quick. With the bolsters, it holds in. You feel the car better. And the wheel with that nice soft steering wheel, you can feel the car better.
And the shifting is, it moves about an eighth of an inch forward an eighth of an inch back. It's just so positive feeling. You want to start it up and we can give it a listen?
We have a key.
Sure.
I kind of like it. When you see it in person, you realize more how they got the proportions correct and stuff.
Yes.
Like, they did a good job on
balance.
I love the idea of a 7-speed manual. That's got to be interesting.
Yes. I definitely need my ship pattern sticker on the dash.
Yep, just hold on to that and push the button.
Oh, the hood. All right. Stock exhaust. Sounds great.
This thing is fantastic.
I'll let you out. I don't even know how to open the door.
I think it's locked now.
Oh.
On the, if you look at the tack, it has everything in the tack. Yeah, the speedo is on the left.
Oh, yeah, big tack in the middle.
It's great how these new LED dashes, they can just make it as accurate as an analog gauge, but it looks great.
You want a hand, Bob?
Yeah.
Well, it sounds great. It looks great. And you want to drive one, you got to go to the Bonneron School of High Performance Driving.
So you guys are getting the whole fleet. You're switching all of your C6s to the C7.
The neat thing for us, we just sold all of our Camaros. We have all the brand new Camaros. We were selling all of our Grand Sports. A guy buys them all. Some go to Europe. They want to leave all the signage on it and all that. And then we have a brand new fleet.
It struck me that the Bonneron cars are going to kind of be like the Hertz GT350 Mustangs.
Yeah.
in years to come.
Actually, the Bond Run Mustangs I used to have are collectible now.
Yeah, the orange ones.
I see those come up.
We see that our Mustangs in all the vintage car races.
Yeah.
They're still orange. They have all the signage on. I mean, everything.
A fitting tribute to a great man. All right. So you can go to bondrun.com. If you want to find out anything about the driving school, we told you it's not about pleasure; it's about safety. But exactly. When's the last time you had a great time doing something that was about safety? Until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Bob Bondurant, Pat Bondurant, and Matt DeAndrea saying, "Keep the air in the spare and the bag in the wheel."